Foundations. And let's go to Proverbs. We're just going to be Proverbs and then the book of Acts mostly. And Proverbs 28 is where I'll start. We've been learning about foundations since the start of the year. And we're not done with the series yet. We're coming in for the landing, and hope you've learned about these foundations. I think that it's always something I've believed and have seen that it doesn't matter how good of methods you have on top if the foundation underneath is bad. I find that just with marriage, especially just to illustrate it, is there are a million people put out these methods and books and all these ideas for micromanaging a marriage, how you'll talk to your kids and how you'll phrase this to your wife and how to take a vacation together. Fine, all that stuff's good. I understand there's a lot of little methods to help in marriage, but if foundation's wrong, your marriage. And sometimes I see how people are trying so many different things. You know, they keep on trying to plaster the cracks in their walls, not thinking maybe I should, fix a foundation that's falling to pieces underneath. Otherwise, you're doing a lot of cracks. And same with your spiritual life, a lot of things like that. And so we're doing the foundations. We've been doing them. And this one's a little different direction. This one, I want to talk about the foundation of boldness. Foundation of boldness. And boldness, that strong, outgoing speaking of the truth, the not living in fear of saying what's right and wrong. Boldness, and it's an important subject, and I think it's good to cover it a little bit. Proverbs 28, verse 1, it says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll start here. Lord, we're honored to study your word. We're honored to be together as Christians. We thank you for the chance to teach your word. Lord, I pray we'd understand these truths, Father, and I pray that this thing on boldness we would get, we would understand how important it is, and I pray that mighty things would happen during the service today, Lord, that we would get some more boldness and understand your way of boldness, and may you empower us. May I have your thoughts and say your thoughts and say your words. We just pray that you'd help us now with this boldness thing in Jesus' name. Amen. People are often bold about the wrong things. There's always the obnoxious person who's bold because they don't understand how obnoxious they are. That's your uncle who wants to talk about terrible things when he's at the family reunion and stuff like that. And the person who talks to you a lot about things they shouldn't talk about. And those people that's oblivious. That is not bold. But I think boldness is an important characteristic, and it doesn't matter whether it's your personality or not. All Christians should be bold. It says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Some of your dads used to tell you about people and what to watch out for in them, and the way they have wandering eyes. People are criminals are always doing this. You're just talking to them about, the Seahawks, and they're still, why? It's because there's something wrong there. I know certain people who are not moral, and I know, and they don't even know this, and it's nobody in this room, fortunately, because I wouldn't tell it out loud. I know when they start lying because they always lower their voice. They always do that. They'll be like, "Yeah, the dad's doing this and that, and I saw this thing, and well, then I decided I better." And they'll lower their voice, and then they're starting to lie. Or they're starting to try to steal something, or lie, or sneak, or do something like that. Why? Because the wicked flee when no man pursues. The wicked have a guilty conscience. The wicked, listen, if you're doing right, you don't have to worry about the siren you hear. If an ambulance starts coming up behind you and you have a heart attack before you look in the rearview mirror, then if you're going, "Oh, whew, it's an ambulance," then something's wrong, okay? And something's wrong. You don't want to do that. The Bible says if you do well, you don't need to be afraid. And so You got to be careful about that, and you need to get, I mean, because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So just where do we get boldness from if it's not in your nature to be bold? And some people have that nature, and some are mixed. I'm a mixed person. Some things I'm bold, and some things I'm not, and some things in my nature, I'm talking my nature itself. Some things I'd rather be quiet, not say anything, and sometimes I have very strong opinions. It just kind of depends on the situation. Some people are very bold people, and some people aren't by nature, but they know they need to be sometimes. And boldness comes from righteousness, first of all. It comes from having a conscience, as Paul said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and man. I find that when I'm not right, I find I lose my boldness. And sometimes I have to go call somebody before I go do something and say, hey, I'm... I just want to apologize for this. Why? Because there's something in my conscience is not right. And so it comes from righteousness. Live in what you believe. Live in the Word of God. Knowing you're following the Lord. Know you're living the right kind of life. That brings a boldness. That brings a confidence. That brings a, I can do this. That brings something that I feel secure that I should be doing this. And I'm okay in this. It makes it so you're willing to preach the Word of God boldly and witness to people. Why? Because you know that you and God are right. You know there's something right between the two of you. So first of all, boldness comes from righteousness. Secondly, the right boldness is not from human abilities and strength. Now we're going to shift to the book of Acts and spend some time there. The right boldness is not from human abilities and strength. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to be at verse 13. The right kind of boldness does not come from human abilities and strength. Acts 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. And so, these guys aren't educated. These guys are ignorant. That's a phrase. I like to be. They were unlearned, ignorant men, but that's what they were. They were fishermen. They may have had no schooling or very little schooling. Historically, usually your schooling was trade. If you're a farmer, your schooling was farming. If you're a fisherman, your school is a fisherman. And don't get me started on that. And it's a whole different subject. But these guys were unlearned and ignorant, and yet they had great boldness. They said, "Wow, why are they so boldness among us educated folks?" When they don't realize, they don't know very much. Why? And they said, "They must have been with Jesus." And so it does not come from the human abilities and strength. It doesn't come from knowledge. Sometimes people think that if they get a certain degree after their name, they can now stand strong for the faith. You don't need a certain degree after your name to stand strong for Jesus. You need the Word of God. You need the Holy Spirit. You need boldness because you're righteous and you believe God and because His Word stands strong. I don't like the word apologetics because it sounds like you're apologizing for the faith. Okay? Be ready to earnestly contend for the faith. And you don't have to be the smartest person in the world. You'll be surprised how the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. Man, as a messed up, insecure kid, when I got saved and started serving the Lord, I just learned when I was preaching the Word of God not to be afraid of anybody. And go to a rich, educated neighborhood where all people had PhDs. I had a PhD. It was called post hole digger, and I learned to dig post holes, and that's my PhD. But I learned not to be intimidated by them. I learned that money doesn't intimidate you. I learned that somebody who's a thug and thinks they're real tough, and somebody has a gun, and somebody is in a gang. I learned none of that. You know what? When you have the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you don't need to live in fear. As a matter of fact, I learned that they got scared. I always found out that's what taught me more than anything else. Always when I got in danger, and I got in a lot of danger when I was in Bible college in Southside of Chicago, and then I used to work in Gary, the murder capital of America at the time, Gary, Indiana. I used to deliver at night there. And I just learned whenever I was in danger, I just started preaching the gospel, and whoever it was who was giving me problems, it's like turn on the light with cockroaches. And just be bold. Your right does not come from your strength, how big and strapping you are, what your IQ is, or anything else. It's not human instruments. Philippians 3:3 says we have no confidence in the flesh. Be bold because you've got a great God. Be bold because you have a great God. Don't be bold because you're so good at debating. Don't be bold because of that. Be bold because it does not come from human abilities and strength. You say, well, I'm shy. You know, you can be bold with red ears and shaking hands. You can be bold. And you'll be surprised how God will give you boldness, and we'll get to that in a little while. Next, boldness comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. Boldness comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. They are afraid. And they were worried. And let me go to verse 24, actually. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. They were worried. They lifted up their voices and wept. They were threatened if they preached the gospel anymore. And they went and prayed. And look at verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. So they're praying for boldness. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were all assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. Some people say that speaking in tongues is the primary evidence of fullness of the Holy Spirit. That is not true right here. They didn't speak in tongues, certainly. You'll find boldness more often as an evidence of fullness of the Holy Spirit. Whenever the Holy Spirit came, the Christians got bold. And weren't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Spirit-filled Christians are bold Christians. They're not. They're, the Holy Spirit's controlling them. The Holy Spirit's bold. And by the way, can I say this? It's strange how a person says, "Well, you know, I just don't like confrontation. I'm just kind of a quiet person. I just kind of keep to myself and live it." Well, that's strange. You don't do that with the Seahawks when you're talking to a 49er fan. Hey, how about that last play of the game? How about the tap back and interception? Yeah, buddy. Ah! Oh, I thought you were, well, I just live it and I'm quiet about it. That's strange. You're bold when you talk about your now, we weren't very bold when we talk about the Mariners. We understand that. But you know, I mean, it's strange how we can be bold about certain things that don't matter. We get bold sometimes about politics. Listen, I don't think you should be bold about tax rates and ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, preacher. It's good stuff. I like it. Amen. Don't be bold about things. I know you think they matter, but listen, what a tax rate is and what we do with illegal immigration and what your favorite football team is nothing compared to Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Be bold for the right things. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And we'll get to that verse a little later. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, and be filled with the Spirit. You'll just find that new Christians, you know, they'll learn wisdom later. And one of the things I've learned to do is when somebody gets saved and they're a new Christian, they are excited and they are amazingly bold. First thing to do is start preaching the gospel to everybody and not even knowing what they're saying. But they're going telling everybody. Why? Because they're excited and the Holy Spirit has filled them and they haven't quenched the Spirit yet. And they are bold and they can't wait to tell everybody what they've learned. That's exciting. That's fullness of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has just stirred them up. Now, a lot of older Christians who are dead, they act like as they want to give them wisdom. They act like they want to give them wisdom so that they don't offend people. What they really want to do is ease their conscience because they used to be like that and aren't like that anymore. Now, I don't mind teaching them wisdom. Yes, don't go tell your Catholic relatives that the Pope's the Antichrist and, you know, scream and yell about, you know, Mom, I found out you're going to hell. I mean, I understand that. That's not the best way to approach it. And that's sometimes what new Christians do. And they are don't know how to do things and how to say things. But, you know, I'd rather them preach the gospel wrong than somebody who does nothing right. Does nothing for Jesus right. Listen, they might quote some verses in there and do some good. And yeah, we'll teach them wisdom, and we want to train them to not say false doctrine, which they do sometimes, and not to go out and offend people on purpose. But the Bible says open rebuke is better than secret love. And by the way, spirit-filled preachers historically have been very hard preachers. They're very bold. And if your preacher's afraid to say strong things, and he's afraid to mention hell, and he's afraid to say there's one way to heaven, and he's afraid to say the Bible's the word of God, and he's afraid to say sin is sin, and black is white, and white is white, and all that stuff. If he's afraid of that, there's a boldness problem. There's a boldness problem. There's a Holy Spirit problem. He had to be worried about pleasing God, not bringing visitors back or making everybody happy. Okay? Boldness comes from fullness of the Spirit. You know what you need to do if you don't have boldness? Is say, Lord, I need you to fill me with the Spirit. Luke 11:13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And that's what they did. They said, Lord, give us boldness to preach the gospel. We're afraid they're going to persecute us and beat us and all these things. And all of a sudden, boom, the power of the Spirit came on them. And boom, they went out and preached the word of God boldly. And multitudes got saved. It comes, boldness, from the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's important. And by the way, a church should be a bold church. They shouldn't be an ashamed church. They should be out there telling people the gospel. And that's a good thing. Next. Wisdom brings boldness. Let me take it to Ecclesiastes. And we'll go a little bit into Proverbs again. We're kind of all over looking at boldness here. The foundation of boldness is being righteous, first of all, knowing you're doing the right thing. Hypocrisy will remove your boldness. The right boldness is not from human abilities and strength. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, number three. Number four, wisdom brings boldness. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 1. Who is a wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of the thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and boldness of his face shall be, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. See, it says that, you know, it just changes your countenance and gives you a boldness when you have wisdom. Let me take you to Proverbs 3, a little lengthy passage. You who are, I don't want to give an age because that won't, that's not a line that's clear there. You who've learned a little bit about life, okay, whatever that age is, sometimes it's 20 and 18 and some, not usually anymore, sometimes it's 30 and sometimes it's 40. And if you didn't get it by 40, you're probably not going to get it. You're probably just one of those people who knows everything, so you don't need any wisdom. And if you haven't said, man, I don't know what I'm doing, then you're not wise yet. usually wisdom comes somewhere after that. Very few people are wise enough to say, you know what, I don't know anything. I'm going to listen to people older than me. That generation is gone. No, the young people don't know that. So now the only way to get you wise enough to learn to be wise is by you saying, boy, what an idiot I am. I don't know anything. I thought I knew everything. And then you can start learning. And that usually happens 25, something like that, 28, something like that, when all of a sudden you found out, oh, it's harder than I thought to be staying married. Oh, man, how did mom and dad do that? And how did dad pay the bills? I didn't know they send you these things every month. And all those things, you start finding out, and you learn, and you find out how smart your mom and dad were. You learn that. And so it says, if it caused your face to shine. You know, once you start learning about life, and you know what you're doing, you know how to handle things, you know. I remember Brother Trock, and Brother Trock's very, very competent, and now he's a missionary in Uganda, and I remember he was talking to me, I think he was emailing me, and he said, you know, I've always been, he's, at the same time, he was the head of laser defense in a certain division of Boeing, lasers that shot down missiles or something. He'd seen something like that. He was a supervisor. And he was a real estate agent at the same time. And he had 11 kids who were amazing kids. He's a very competent man. He could do anything, run anything, fix anything. He was a sharp guy. He said, my first day in Uganda, I tried to figure out how to get a refrigerator. And I felt like I hadn't, I felt more incompetent than I had in 40 years. and why? And you know what you look like? Your face looks dazed when you're in a position. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing here. But usually if you get some wisdom in life, you know how you know when you're buying a car, it's a little different now and you've done it a few times, you're figuring out how to deal with this financial thing, you're feeling how to deal with this situation. You got wisdom now, your face looks different. There's not that look on your face. Wisdom brings that. It brings you a knowledge, you know what you're doing, and it changes your countenance. In Proverbs 3, just some verses about that. Wisdom gives you boldness when you know what you're doing, when you have the wisdom of life. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'll just read a longer passage, and you'll get the gist of what wisdom does for you and how it changes the way you live and function. Verse 19 and through verse 26, it says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath established the heavens. By his wisdom the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down with the dew. My son, let them not," wisdom and understanding is a context there, "let them not depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, when thou liest down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." So, when I go to a foreign country, I'll be in 3 weeks. We'll be in Haiti in 3 weeks. And so when I go there, I'll have people with me who've never been to some never been to a foreign country, some never been to a country like Haiti. Now, I've been to Haiti 4 times. I've been to a lot of foreign countries and traveled a lot. I'll be in there, and not because I'm more competent or smarter or tougher or anything else. I will go in there without the days looked, with confidence, because I have the wisdom of how to travel in a country like that. Make sense? But if you've never been there, you can be a genius, you can be competent, everything else, but you just don't have the wisdom of how to get out of an airport in a third world. And how to not have 20 people, what to do when 20 people accost you for money in a third world country, and are you in danger, and do you know what to do, and do you let them carry your luggage? And all kinds of questions you have to know. Wisdom, I'll be relaxed when I get out the plane. I don't like going through immigration. I'll walk outside and I'll say, why did I come here? It's hot and humid. And I'll do all those things. However, I won't be messed up and insecure in what I'm doing. Why? Because I have the wisdom to travel there. You understand what I'm saying? Not because I'm so smart. Wisdom brings a confidence and a boldness where you can go and deal with things. And by the way, once you have that, people see you and know whether you have that. And listen, if you walk into a used car lot and you say, I don't know what car I want, I just have a bunch of money, they're going to treat you a lot differently. Then you say, doesn't that have a 3.1 liter in it? Then they this guy knows what he's talking about. Because wisdom changes your countenance. It makes you sleep well. It makes you rest. And it gives you boldness to deal with things in life because you know what you're doing. And that's important. Make sense? You get that? Okay. It changes the whole way you live and your whole countenance and everything. It gives you a boldness to you because you know what you're doing in life. And that's important. Number five, boldness comes from knowing the Lord is behind you. We're in Proverbs. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 3. Boldness comes from knowing the Lord is behind you. He's with you. Verse 26, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." The Lord shall be thy confidence. Let's look at Psalms. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3 and verse 6. "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." And we could read Psalm 27 and many verses all over that talk about this. Let's read one more. Isaiah 12. The Bible says, "The Lord shall be your confidence. I will not fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." There's a boldness and a security and a confidence that comes to knowing, hey, I'm doing God's work. God's with me. I'm in God's hands. I'm not going to fear if there's 10,000 against me. I will stand up and preach the truth. Isaiah chapter 12. And verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. So you're not too worried about it. Let me give you some good Bible examples of this. A people who are confident and secure and bold because they knew God was with them. How about David going to fight Goliath? He was bold. He just said, hey guys, don't worry. No, I love what he says. Little guy, 14 years old, his voice probably changes. No man's voice, no man's faith fail him. I'll go kill him. He's like 13 or 14. And he's telling the whole army, relax guys, I got it. I'll go kill the giant. Don't let any man's heart fail him. Why? He knew that the same God who delivered him out of the hand of the lion and the bear, he knew God. He had the boldness. He says, he will deliver me out of the hand of this giant and we'll kill the giant. Don't worry about it. I'll go fight him. And then he says to the lion, he says, hey, but the lion, he says to Goliath, he says, hey, today the birds are going to feed on your dead flesh. I'm going to kill you. He's bold. Why? Because he knew God was with him. And knowing God is with you gives boldness. Elijah, Mount Carmel, he's got all these hundreds of prophets of Baal. And he says, hey, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Let's find out who's God today. He's very bold. And then he starts mocking them. Hey, maybe Baal's on a vacation. Maybe he's gone away on a journey. You better cry louder. He was bold. He was very bold about it. And then he says, hey, pour water on that offering. We're just going to make sure there's no mistake here of who God is. Pour more water on it. Pour more water on it. Pour more. He was bold in God, standing up against a whole nation, not afraid. And so that brings boldness. I think maybe the best story I like best is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, you bow down to the idol or when the music comes on, or we cut you in pieces and make your house a dunghill, or we feed you to the fiery furnace. And they said, you know what? They stood there while everybody else is bowing. Talk about standing out. You ever took a stand and been the only one and every eye goes, right on you? And they said, hey guys, you better bow down. We're not going to bow down. They bring him into the presence of the king, the most powerful man in the world, and said, hey, you see that furnace over there? You bow down? Is it true you didn't bow down? Because if not, I'm gonna burn you up. Can you imagine? Our boldness doesn't require that kind of... I mean, we might get a door slammed in our face of witnesses, and they might make fun of you at work, but they're not going to throw you in a fiery furnace. But he said, you know what? Our God is able to deliver us, he said in Daniel 3. But if not, we still won't bow down to your idol. And they didn't bow down. But you know what? God had their back. God was taking care of them. They were bold because they knew that the Lord was behind them. No wonder Jesus said, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am with you always. He says, be bold because I'm going to be with you. I am with soul winners. I like people who preach a gospel. I'm going to be with them and help them. So be bold, understanding you're just fine. God's taking care of you. You're going and facing a big guy there. You got a bigger guy behind you named God. So just be bold. Just stand up for the truth. Just don't be ashamed of the gospel. We can be bold because we know God is with us. Next, boldness comes from knowing you are right. Acts 13. Boldness comes from knowing you are right. Acts 13. And verse 45. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, that they were filled with envy and spake against those things which are spoken of Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. So these guys are standing against Paul. This is Acts 13 and verse 46 now. When Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you, judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They said, hey, you guys are standing against us, contradicting us. He says, you know what? The truth is, you rejected the gospel. They weren't cowering. They were just bold about it. They knew they were right. He says, we got the gospel here. Romans 1:16 we quoted. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also to the Greek. You know why they're not ashamed? He wasn't ashamed because he knew how powerful the gospel was. And he knew it was the truth. The gospel of death, burial, and resurrection is real. I know Jesus Christ. He lives inside of me. He has changed billions of lives. The word of God works whenever you live it. We are not ashamed because we know the gospel is true. Hey, you know what? I don't agree with that. Well, when they die, they'll say, hey, you're right. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The gospel is real. When you get saved, you know it. You know something happened. You know Jesus Christ lives in you. And you're not ashamed of that. Listen, it is so real and so powerful. I was joking earlier. We're very bold about the Seahawks, but we're not so bold about the Mariners. Why is that? Well, because one we know is right, and one we know is, well, they're almost 500. Pretty good for the Mariners, isn't it? We don't brag about the Supersonics. And why? Because we know that what's right and wrong. You ever been in an argument and you realize you're wrong in the middle of it? But you don't want to be wrong, so you kind of back your way out of it. Or you do what weak-minded people do. Well, at least I don't do what you do. You do that and you start... Listen, when you know you're wrong, you lose your boldness. But when you know you're right, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you know what the truth is, you're bold. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because we know that Jesus is real and he's alive today. Next, what is the foundation of boldness? The foundation of boldness is prayer. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Talk about praying. And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We already read in Acts 4 where they prayed and the place was shaken and the power of the Spirit came and they spake the word of God with boldness. Prayer brings boldness. This is just a time where you have to say, Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm afraid. I'm nervous. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to. And you just pray. Say, God, give me boldness. You're going to say, Lord, I'm just not bold right now. I need you to give me boldness. I marvel when we started serving God. I laugh about it now because, let's see, we were, most of us are 15 and 16 when we started serving God of our youth group. We all got saved. We're all public school kids. All of us started serving the Lord, a whole bunch of us. Our pastor told us, he said, you know what, Christians will not take a stand, but if you take a stand, the Christians will come out of the woodworks and you'll be surprised how many Christians there are. Well, we're full of the Spirit. I mean, what else should you say? We just decided we're going to go witness in school. The funniest thing was the one person who stood against us was the teacher of the public school who ran the Bible study and says, you can't do that. Nobody else cared. And he stood very strongly against us, but we had a lot of students saved and he didn't. And so we went and we would take our same Bible as this, a black King James open Bible, just like this, went and put that thing right every day, top book on top of my pile of books and peaches and everything else I had right there. You know, in public, you know, when you're 16, 15, you're pretty insecure and you want everybody to like you and think highly of you. It's a very insecure age. And you know what? It is amazing how we didn't care. Every one of us got some kind of crazy nickname. Preacher boy, preacher man, the Pope, whatever our name was. They all gave us names of some kind. And we were gently laughed at and made fun of. But you know what? We had a lot of people's lives changed and a lot of people saved. And we had a lot of kids from our school come to church. Many are still serving the Lord today. One of our guys at a different school than us, he was at the next school over and he had a little bit smaller school. But he told me, he says, I've witnessed, and he said, I think he had 350 students at his school. He said, I've witnessed every single student, except for one. I can't remember if I witnessed him. I think I did. I'm going to go back to him. Every single student in his school he tried to witness to by himself. Why? The power of God was in our youth group, and we were just We lost our self-consciousness. And we realized people are going to go to heaven or hell. God loves everybody. The Spirit of God is burning in us. And we were not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That boldness comes not from you and your ability. And there are outgoing people who are going to be natural at it. It's going to be easy for them. They don't mind. And there are certain people who are just contrary people who like standing against everybody. Then there's people who don't like conflict and people who would rather get along like me. Anywhere I can just give in and get along with somebody, I just decided my pride's not that important. I don't like strife. It takes too much energy to fight with somebody. So if we're both supposed to pay a buck for the thing and you back out, no, I'm not going to argue there for 5 hours. I'm going to pay the other buck. I just like peace. But you know what? Even people like me, when I get full of the Spirit, I can be bold. And you can be bold. And the foundation is not a certain personality type. That just makes it easier for some people. Well, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, you can be bold anywhere and be confident, because the righteous are as bold as a lion. And lions don't walk around, "Oh, I wonder if I can eat that antelope." They don't do that. They're as bold as a lion. So we can be bold. We've got a great God, amen? We've got the truth of the Word of God. We can be bold. And when you're right, and you know what you're speaking is right, and you know what you're saying is right, you can be bold. And by the way, in our case, it doesn't mean martyrdom, but for some Christians, it'll mean martyrdom being bold. And they can do it. If they can do it, you and I can do it if we're going to get a little bit embarrassed and mocked, can't we? Don't be ashamed. Can you imagine? Jesus says it so strong. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. It's pretty strong. Don't be ashamed of being a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Be proud you love Jesus. Be proud you know the one way to heaven through Jesus Christ. And go out and stand for God. Be bold. Don't live your... God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But by the way, the righteous are as bold as a lion. Do not go out and be bold and don't live it. Oh, you kill the testimony of Christ. You live what the Bible says. That gives you the confidence to go out and say, no, God's real, and I'm living in him, and I know him, and he's doing these things. It gives you a boldness and a fullness of the Spirit, and all these things. It comes from God, not from your abilities. All right, let's go be bold this week. We're going to pray, be dismissed for our main service, our harvest service, in about 11 minutes. Let's bow for prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, thank you for the chance to teach about boldness and the foundation of boldness. I pray that we'd have that. I pray that you'd help us be bold as a lion, because we are living in you in righteousness, and because we're full of the Spirit, and because we have the truth. Lord, it doesn't matter if this nation forsakes you. May we be bold to speak the truth and love people. We pray that we'd stand for right. We pray that we would not cower, but not have the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, and speak the word of God with boldness. Help us to do so, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll be back.